There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write them through the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email us your audio file. If you want to record it directly on your mobile device and your recording software there, you can email that file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories and your experiences to us. Just earlier, before you got in here, Jenny, or Harper came down here and she's knocking on the door. I'm like, "What is it, honey?" "My hands are full."
Okay.
And I open it and she has a thing of goldfish for me.
Okay.
The bag of pretzels that's sitting over there.
Okay.
And a Gatornade,
uh-huh,
as she calls them, and a Capri Sun for her.
So you guys could have snack time.
She wanted, yeah. She said, "I was thinking you might be kind of hungry or pretty hungry. So I brought this down. Can you have my Capri Sun for me?"
Aw.
So,
thoughtful little thing.
Yeah. So we had a little bit of snack time. So there you go.
It's good.
I'm filled up now. I'm ready for ghost stories. Let's go to our first caller today. Of course, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at the show to share your real stories with us. And we would love to hear them. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hello, Tony. Hello, Jenny. This is Nicholas from Arizona, the Yuma region, the Desolate Desert. I'm calling again, man. You just, when you think you don't want to call back, you've told all your stories, you just start remembering all your other stories. So I got two quick ones. One that Tony might enjoy. This dates back when I was in high school. I can't really remember the year. I think it was like 2009, 2010, somewhere around then. Anyway, this is around the time frame when Michael Jackson had passed away, and media was blowing up and everything. And I had this old desktop computer that I didn't have hooked up to the internet. I didn't have it hooked up to anything other than the wall, you know, just to power on. So there was by like no means anything that, you know, could broadcast off of it. And, like, at certain points during the day, it would just happen randomly. There would just be, like, I can't remember the song, but it's, like, "Make the World a Better Place" or something. Something along the lyrics like that. But it was a Michael Jackson song, and it would play on and on, just day in and day out for, like, I think it was, like, 2 or 3 weeks straight. And I thought I was going crazy. And I would have friends that would come over and then would start playing. And I'd be like, "Hey, listen. You guys hear that, right?" And they're like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Dude, that's coming from my computer." And I swore, like, up and down, like, jokingly, but, you know, I thought my computer was haunted. And it was just kind of a running gag, like, "Hey, my computer's haunted by Michael Jackson. That's awesome." You know, I was a little worried, but after listening to your show and Tony explaining a couple of times how different household items could pick up radio waves, it started to make sense to me. So that just kind of debunked my whole little you know, oh, my computer is haunted, you know, because that would be interesting. But in the same house, my mother did have a radio that she kept plugged in, and she swore that it was my great-grandmother was watching over us at the time. And the radio would cut on and off occasionally. And I remember she had unplugged it and moved it out to the living room. But I swear to you not, one day that radio just cut on. It wasn't even plugged in. And I remember it because I walked by it and I remember hearing it on. Second story happened recently this year. I was delivering newspapers at a gas station, and I was speaking to the attendant at the counter, and I had walked to the frozen aisle where the drinks are so I could pick up a drink, and I looked back because I was talking to him, so I was trying to make eye contact with him, when something caught my eye behind him, and it looked like a white shape just kind of morphed behind him and just kind of disappeared. And I looked at him, and then I looked back behind him, and I was like, did you see that? And he was like, see what? I was like, did you throw your jacket behind you, or did some papers fall? And he looked behind him, and he doesn't see anything. He's like, no. And I'm like, huh. Well, there is a ghost here. Good luck. And then I left him for the night. So I thought that was pretty interesting that happened. I don't know what that was. It could have been just me imagining things. I don't know. But anyway, I hope you guys got a kick out of the first story. I thought it was pretty funny figuring out that, yes, radio waves do travel. Anyway, guys, have a great New Year's. Whenever you do play this, if you do play this at all, love the show. Keep doing what you do. Love you guys. Bye.
Okay, so if you had been his friend and you'd gone to his house and you said, and he said, okay, do you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Would you have said yes or no, even if you did hear it?
I would have been honest.
You would have been honest?
Yeah, why not?
I think I would have messed with him and told him I didn't hear it, make him think he was losing it.
I think sometimes when you're in those situations, it's almost like, I don't know that you would have the foresight to do that, you know?
That's true.
Like looking back, you go, oh, I should have done that. But at the moment, I think a lot of times it's just like everyone is so kind of like puzzled,
mm-hmm.
or in a state of like, this is odd. And it's not necessarily like, oh, here's an opportunity to really screw with somebody.
Sure.
As much as I like screwing with people,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would even have the foresight to be doing that at that exact moment in time. But, yeah, I mean, it's creepy.
It is creepy.
You can't explain it. Thank you for sharing your experience with us here on the show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Another caller. Hi.
Hi, my name is Zoe, and I'm from a little town in kind of the suburbs of Pennsylvania. I am about in my mid-teens right now, and sorry, I'm sick. I have seen a lot of things. Let me preface this. My house was built in the early 1700s. This thing is older than old. It's made out of solid stone on the outside. And then when my grandfather bought it about, I think, 50 or 60 years ago, possibly longer. My grandfather was born in 1910, so he has lived in America for a very long time. He came over from Italy. And during the time that he lived here, he actually had three wives. The first of which, we will call her Joanne. Joanne was a serious alcoholic, and Joanne used to drink alcohol so badly that she actually was banned from buying alcohol anywhere around where I live. And so what happened was she would actually buy these massive, massive shipments of, well, as much as a person can buy, like, at a grocery store, of perfumes and almond extract, because both of those had alcohol content. And she would drink them. And this seriously messed with her mind and her body, and she became very, very ill. One day, when my grandfather was out in the garden with their children, Edna and Frank, she was drinking it, and she tripped and she fell in the kitchen. So everyone was outside. No one knew what was happening. She tripped and fell and caught her throat on the rung of a chair, and she was so out of it and so messed up that she couldn't get up, and she actually choked in my kitchen. This was years ago. I can't even imagine it. And then my grandfather's second wife actually passed away shortly after they were married, and his third wife is my grandmother, who is still alive today, and she's just awesome. But recently, there have been some more things that have been going on. The things that I have seen are an empty coffee, like a Folgers container. If that is completely empty, it will sit by the coffee maker, and if it's empty, it will be thrown violently off of its perch, and it will just fly across the kitchen, which my mom just says is my grandfather's way of saying, you need to have coffee. Don't put the empty coffee container back. Don't be a jerk. And another thing is, like, my dad was sitting underneath of our bread basket, and the bread was securely in the bread basket, and all of a sudden it just flipped out and landed in my dad's lap. Another thing that has happened is I have watched my front door open. Now, for reference, my front door is about an inch and a half thick of, I think it's solid oak. So it's pretty darn heavy. And I was sitting on my couch with my aunt and my mom on the other couch next to me. The door handle just suddenly turns and shakes a little bit, like somebody's testing it to see if it'll open. And then it turns slowly all the way around and is pushed violently, very fast, and smacks off of the table that is to the left of the door. My mom and I and my aunt had no idea what to do, and we kind of sat there in silence. We had no idea how to react to this until my grandmother came home, and then I yelled at her not to touch the doorknob because her ex-husband had just opened it. She cursed at me lately and told me I was lying. But then the channels on the TV change if the remote is right in front of you. My mom always tells me the story of at one point she had been sitting there watching the news, and the channel flipped back to Grumpier Old Men. She switched it back to the news. It switched back to Grumpier Old Men. So finally, she thinks it's somebody outside the door or outside of the house. So she goes outside to yell at whoever's changing the channel on her, and there's no one there. No one else has a remote that works with that TV either, so it was very odd. But recently, I have been experiencing some really creepy things. So my mom's new boyfriend is more of a heavier set guy, so you can hear him when he steps on the upstairs floor. And it's big, heavy footsteps, and you can hear both of the doors open. I can close and open a door right now so you can hear it. It's pretty loud when it opens and closes. That's for most of the doors in the upstairs of the house. They're thin and they're very loud. So all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, it was like around midnight or 2 a.m., I'm sitting there awake, and all of a sudden, I don't hear any of the doors open, but I hear these big, heavy footsteps just clomping on the upstairs floor. And I'm upstairs as well, so I just laid there and I panicked. I was texting one of my friends saying, oh my gosh, I just heard footsteps, what do I do? And he said, ha ha ha, maybe it's an intruder coming to kill you. I'm like, thanks buddy, that's awesome. The other time actually just happened the other two days ago, at nighttime. It was about midnight, 2 a.m. again. This is always when this happens, but there's a mouse. There are mice in our house because it's an old farmhouse. It's gonna have mice. The way that things are happening, I can hear when a mouse is in the wall. I can hear when a mouse is under my radiator. This was weird because I'm laying in bed and we have bells strung up on our stairs right now because it's Christmas time. And I hear one of the bells just drop and smack off of the little wooden bands on the stairs. And our bottom step, because the house is so old, it's extremely squeaky and extremely loud when you step on it. A mouse does not have the weight to cause it to squeak or to moan or groan like it does. And all of a sudden, I just hear the bottom step creak and groan. I panicked, but my parents had taken my phone away, so I couldn't text my friend again. I just kind of sat there panicking. Eventually, I got the courage to run into my mother's room and say, Mom, 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 I just heard footsteps, you know, I'm hearing things. I think there's somebody in the house. And she goes, go lay back down. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not dealing with this. And I'm panicking. I then, when I went back to bed, I hear something fall down behind the radiator, and I hear a heavy footstep on the downstairs floor. My grandmother is in bed. My mom is in bed. Her boyfriend is in bed. I'm in bed. My dog is in bed with me. There is no one to be doing this. There is no way that these noises could be happening. And I just panicked, and I kind of curled up in a ball, and I didn't move for about a good hour. And then I finally, I guess, passed out from exhaustion. But this happens constantly, all the time. Doors open, things fly around the room. It's crazy. Things will be lost. You'll put something down somewhere, and it'll just be gone the next day. Or you'll think that you see someone. I have seen 2 full-body apparitions in full detail in my mother's bedroom door. I used to sleep in there when I was little because I would have nightmares. So I'm laying in bed, and I look towards my mother's door. And recently, my uncle had passed away, and I see him in all the detail, but it's like when you look at like a color saturation or a picture that's had the hues changed, so there's only like the blacks and the blues and stuff, it looked like that, kind of, but it was just his outline and every detail of his face and his clothing, and it was so creepy, and I didn't know what to do, so I just looked back at the TV. Look back, he's gone. Again, I freaked out. I was 8. So then the next time I saw him must have been a couple months after that, and I looked at the doorway, and I see him, and my eyes drift down to his left slightly, and there's a shorter woman who's about, I'd say, maybe 4'8", approximately, maybe about 5', and she's standing next to him. She's in almost like a nightgown and has this cap on. Immediately, I remember a picture that my grandmother has of, I think it's either my great aunt or like my great grandmother. And I just nodded at them both. And I look back at the TV and I look back at the doorway and they're gone. Honestly, I think they were there to protect me. I think they were just checking up on me. I just think it was kind of cool and creepy that it happened. And it's just odd and weird, but it's really cool. I'll check back with you guys if any other happenings are going on in my house within the next couple of months. Thank you guys so much, and I'm so happy that you guys picked this to be on the podcast. Bye.
Okay. She is in a very, very old house and a very storied part of the country, and it's made of stone. End of story.
That's your answer.
Well, that's I mean, honestly, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much right.
Yeah,
I think that's just, yes, you are in the most likely place to have a haunting going on.
Yeah,
and you have a haunting going on.
Right, and I know that she's got a ton of stuff going on, and it sounds like it's different things, some family, some not. But again, that much piled into this, you know, mm-hmm. the paranormal stew, if you will. Who knows what's really there?
I kind of view it more of a chili.
A chili. Okay.
A stew. Mm-hmm. I mean, stews are a little more chunky, mm-hmm. you know, and you can really, a lot of times you can identify the items in a stew.
Okay.
You can often go, that's beef. Uh-huh. That's a carrot. It's a potato. A chili? Not always. Sometimes you're like, what is this ground beef? Is this fake meat? Is it an onion or is it a garlic piece or a little chunk there? Kind of like the paranormal, because you're not always so easy to identify exactly what it is you're consuming. That's why I view it more as a chili. I just came up with that whole thing as I went.
I
and it actually kind of makes sense.
I won't make that mistake again.
Doesn't it make sense?
Sure.
What about more of a gumbo or an etouffee? Are the ghosts more like a gumbo? I'm going to go with etouffee again because it's a little less recognizable.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program or etouffee, become an EPP, extra podcast person, up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of our show. There's like 126 or 7 or so of them up there now. And all the exclusive video content, Seeing Ghosts, those episodes are up there. And a lot more, too. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is to sign up and help keep us on the air. So another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Eliana, and I just have to say I love your guys' show. It gets me through my three-hour commute every day. So thank you so much for what you do. You help a lot of people. Definitely hope to be an EPP very soon. So just wanted to start off by thanking you for everything. I've actually called one time before, and I told you guys about this weird thing that happened when I was a kid, and basically I would hear something running up and down the stairs every night for quite some time. But last time I called, I also mentioned that since then I've had a lot of other weird things happen. So there's one story in particular that I thought I would share because anytime I share it with anybody, they always think it's pretty crazy. So this happened my freshman year of college. I lived in a dorm, and I had a roommate, and our dorm room was really small. It was also really old. I think it was like maybe 50 years old, so maybe even older. Ours was pretty much one of the first dorms there. But just to give you some background, the dorm had, you know, two beds, two desks, and two closets, and that was it. And I don't think that a person could even fit the closet, maybe if they really tried. That'll make sense later why I'm explaining that. But another thing is that we were multiple stories up, so it'd be really hard for somebody to get into our room through our window. So just some background. So there was one night when we took our friend out for her birthday for dinner, and we took a bunch of pictures that night. We didn't drink or anything, you know, we were under 21, and so we were fully sober. I remembered the entire night. When we got back to our dorm, I looked at the pictures that we took and, you know, deleted the ones I didn't like, kept the ones I liked. We each, you know, went to our closet, got our pajamas, there was nobody in our closet, changed for bed, locked the door, locked the window, and went to bed. And so, the next morning, when we woke up, I turned on my camera, and by the way, this is like a digital camera before, you know, we had iPhones. I turned on my camera, and because I wanted to upload the pictures from the night before, and I noticed that in between, like after the pictures had been taken, there were pictures that were taken in the middle of the night of my roommate sleeping and of me sleeping. And some of them were really bizarre. There were some that were like close-ups of our faces. Others were like from all the way across the room. And I think the weirdest one, there was one that looked like there was something actually taking a picture of my roommate while standing on her pillow. Like, it looked like the camera was on the, like, almost where the ceiling was, like 10 feet up, and right behind her. And the weird thing is, her bed, like, there was a wall, you know, behind her pillow. So nobody could have been standing right behind her. They had to have been standing on her pillow and taking a picture from above. And then there was a picture in that same, if it was standing in that same spot, it was facing me and taking a picture of me across the room. And then there were pictures of, like, right up next to my face, above my face. It was just really bizarre. And we were both really freaked out because we knew that neither of us had done that. And that it would have been pretty impossible for either of us to take, especially that one picture where something looked like it was standing on her pillow. Our doors were locked. Our windows were locked. We were multiple stories up. We had checked the closets before going to bed. So I really don't know what that could have been. Like, my only thought, unless somebody could have somehow gotten into the room, but even then, I feel like my roommate would have definitely woken up if something was, had gotten onto her bed and was standing on her pillow. So I almost wonder if something was floating above her taking the picture. I don't know. A lot of other weird things happened in that dorm room. I think there was definitely something in there. I don't know if it was the same thing as when I was a kid or something different. Like, it would turn on my stereo all the time, and our TV would turn on and off. Little things like that. But the picture thing that happened is definitely one that stood out to me more than anything. So, yeah, that's it. Just wanted to see what you guys thought, and thank you for your time.
Whenever I go back through my pictures on my phone, I always kind of worry that I'm going to see something that I or the kids did not take, because we've had a few people call in or write in with stories of pictures being taken.
Sure.
And there's no explanation for it. And that just terrifies me, because it tells you there's proof that something was in your room with you, whether it was alive or not. It's still creepy.
So, yeah, we've had some stories where it's like, oh, it looks like it was taken from above the fan.
Yeah.
You know, like looking down on someone.
Yeah.
Like in a hotel room or whatever. So that's not an uncommon thing. My question is, when those pictures are on the phones, is it taken literally with the device? Like, did the entity or whatever took the picture, did the phone float up there, snap, and come back down? Or was the image just somehow transferred from whatever the hell it was and it's on the phone? Nothing, like the phone never physically moved.
I don't know. It doesn't really make a difference. It's still a picture on your phone that was taken by something.
You sleep really hard. It'd be very easy. I should totally have done this by now.
If you do,
I would have known that you were afraid.
You're going to be in so much trouble.
I'm just going to take these weird snaps.
You don't lie well. So when I confront you about it, I will know.
I'll just have this giant grin on my face.
Yeah, you'll just start laughing. That's what you do.
Oh, well. There you go. 855-853-4802. But if you want to freak out your friends and family, please do try that and let us know how it goes. Okay, maybe not. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, Brewskis. My name is Samantha. I'm calling from Georgia. I just wanted to call and tell you guys a little story. I listen to your podcast regularly. I'm a big fan of the show. This particular incident happened in 2009, and I was away at college. While I was away, my mom had purchased a new home, and I was coming home for the weekend, and I'd gotten notice that all of my family, they were all going to be out of town, and so I really wasn't comfortable staying in my new mom, like the new house my mom had purchased. So I decided that I would stay at my grandmother's residence while they were gone. So some point throughout the night, you know, I was getting ready for bed, and they live in like a 1970s, you know, kind of three-level house, but it's a split-level home. They, you know, built it from hand, so nobody prior has lived there, and anything that happened there had to have, you know, followed me there. But I'd gone upstairs, and I remember thinking to myself, like, well, I'm going to leave the hall light on, you know, that way if anything happens or anything comes in the bedroom, anybody comes in the bedroom, I was very precautious. Anybody comes in the bedroom, like, I would see, you know, I'd see the door, the light open into the door, or the, you know, door open, I'd hear it. Well, that night I was laying down, and the way their bedroom was laid out, I slept in my grandmother's bed. The way the bedroom was laid out is I was asleep on their king-size bed, and at the foot of the bed, directly at the foot of the bed, was like an armoire where they had their TV. And if you're facing that, if you're laying in the bed facing the TV, immediately on the left would be their, like, walk-in bathroom area, and it was, like, kind of long and narrow, and the door would be to the left of the TV, and that's the door that you would exit into the hallway. And their closet would be directly on the right of where the TV sat, and that was like a walk-in closet area. My grandparents are, you know, pretty elderly people. They still use wire clothes hangers, and there was some wire clothes hangers on the back of their door, and I had their door cracked, and again, I had the hall light on, and I'd watched some TV and just kind of drifted off to sleep, and in the middle of the night at some point, the way I sleep is I sleep on my right-hand, you know, side, and I pull my knees up a little bit, and I usually sleep with my hands between my knees, just kind of like wedged in between my legs. So I sleep home side like that. So my back is to the door, and my back is to the bathroom. Well, I heard the clanking of the clothes hangers on the back of their door, and immediately, you know, that woke me up. I didn't open my eyes though, because immediately when I'm hearing that, I become very frightened. And I think, you know, at first I think there has to be an intruder in the home. And I'm laying there and I'm getting nervous because as I'm awake, I see the light flood in. You know, like if you close your eyes and it's light outside, it's a little bit brighter than if you closed your eyes in a pitch black room. So I see the light come in and I think to myself as I, okay, there's definitely an intruder in here. What do I need to do? So I start, you know, fight or flight. I think if I lay here and I'm quiet, they may not think that I'm awake, or they may not think I've noticed them. They'll just take whatever they're looking for and they'll leave. Or I think, should I get up and try to get between them and the door, which is not very plausible because you can't really go through people. So I lay there and I decide with the first option. I just lay there and I say, I'm not going to have my eyes on it, pretend like I'm asleep and just see what happens. Well, it's at that time that I hear the floor creaking and it's as if somebody's walking to the bed, and I actually feel something get onto the bed, like a divot. It was almost like someone would, like, put their knee to kind of lean over me to look and see if I were awake or not. So I just remained very still and silent. And, of course, you know, my heart's racing. I'm like, myself, none of my family's in town. Everybody's away. My grandparents, my mother, my sisters, everybody's gone. So as the knee or whatever, you know, pressed into the bed, the bed actually moves, and, like, I can feel my weight of my body move, and I instantly get this source of heat. It's blistering hot, just this heat, and that's when I realized, like, this may not be a person. You know, so instantly I start, you know, my instant reaction was to cry for some reason, so I start just crying these tears. I'm trying to keep my eyes closed because I'm scared, and at that point, it was just like I felt the heat. The heat was still there, but it, like, minimalized, and the weight of the bed lifted, and I heard the creaks of the floor, and I heard the hangers, and I saw the light close, you know, again, the door close and the light diminish, and that was it, and I was so scared. And ironically, like, I was sleeping with my phone, like, right under the covers, like, next to me, and I looked down, and my mom texted me, but I was still so scared. Like, I was so scared to move, and my mom texted me, and she was just like, are you okay? Like, something had woken her up, and she just felt this, like, compulsion to start praying for me and my safety. And she was actually at my Uncle Billy's up in Tennessee, and, you know, everybody in my family are they're heavily involved in the church, and they're all very religious and not really religious, but spiritual. And my mom just, you know, she just said, you know, sent me a prayer that she had been praying. And she said, you know, my Aunt Kim, her sister, had notified her, and she had been woken up and wanted to know if I was safe. And my mom was at her brother's house, and it's just the three siblings of hers. And so they start, you know, praying, and she had the whole family up praying for me. And, you know, I was about probably 2 hours after, I was to a point where I could respond. Like, I was actually felt strong enough to reach over and, you know, respond to her text message. And, you know, I just said, the strangest thing happened. I'm petrified. You know, I started explaining to her exactly what had gone on. And so she said, well, okay, you know, do you want me to have someone come over and get you? And I'd growing up, one of my mom's friends that was a little younger than my mom,
her mother kept me a lot. Her and her mother, she's actually my godmother, so my godmother's mother and her kept me a lot. And so I call her, you know, my Mama Ann, and she said, yeah, I can have Mama Ann come get you. And so I said, well, just let's wait till the morning and I'll see. And I laid there. I didn't go back to sleep the entire night. And at some point a little later, I heard, like, some clashing downstairs, and, you know, I was just still so scared, and I felt like I just was so scared. I wouldn't even get out of the bed. I felt like something was in the bathroom. Again, that's, like, directly to my left, just watching me. Even though I'd heard, like, you know, the clanking of the hangers and even seen the diminishing light and the door, like, shut, you know, I was just so scared. And so some throughout the night, I probably, you know, truth be told, I probably drifted back to sleep at some point. But the next morning when I woke up, you know, I instantly called my mom, and she was like, well, do you want to stay in the room and I'll have, you know, again, Mama Ann come get you? And I was like, no, just stay on the phone with me and I'll go downstairs. And this was all a Saturday night, so I was waking up that morning to actually go to church. And I come downstairs, and the oven timer was going off as if somebody had, like, set the timer to go off. And all the cabinet doors in the kitchen were open, wide open. And so the weird thing about that is my grandparents' home, and like I said, it was built in the 70s. It's still got, like, the original kitchen they put in, and this 70s oven is not where you could set, like, an electric timer. You would have to actually turn, like, a dial knob, and it actually displays, like, the hands of, just like a clock, hands of a clock, and you would actually set it, just like you were going to set a Timex watch or something like that. Like, you would actually manually manipulate it to go off at a certain time. And the time was set at 3 a.m., which, you know, that some people believe that, you know, that's the hour of the devil, or, you know, like, a demonic hour, that it's in direct opposition of the Holy Trinity. But, you know, that just scared me so bad. And so whatever it was, you know, it had to have followed me home, because my grandparents are very, you know, very good Christian people, very spiritual. They, you know, they're just so good-hearted and good people that I just don't think something like that would have been in their home, you know, had it not been for me entering. And, you know, everybody in my family kind of knew about it. The next day, you know, I had our minister kind of pray over me and bless me. And ever since that night, I haven't had anything that, to that extent, happen to me. I do have other stories, but I don't want to monopolize your time or anything. I look forward to hearing you more in the future, and hope you guys have a good day.
So I take it nobody else has ever said anything about there being something that's happened in the house when they were there.
Not that I got out of that.
So that's why she's thinking that it followed her there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could have played asleep with something in the house.
I'm always very surprised by that reaction. Not you, mm-hmm. but when people do that. Mm-hmm. When they do just fall right back asleep, where it's like, oh, I played asleep and then I fell asleep and it all went well and it all just went away. I'm not that good at just being passive on something like that.
No, but I, you know, honestly, in her defense though, if she's a single woman in a house alone, mm-hmm. assuming she doesn't have a weapon of any type,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what else I would have done either.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the whole playing dead.
Mm-hmm.
If there's someone shooting at a group of people and some people got hit and some people didn't, your best bet to survive that is probably going to be to lay on the ground and pretend you got hit and just don't move.
Yeah.
Rather than getting up and like, oh, look, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're still around. So that defense probably, you know, makes some sense in the paranormal. My thought on that would always be, though, what if the paranormal knows you're awake or not, or if you're there or not, you know?
Right.
Maybe they have a little more insight than a human would. But thank you for the story. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hi, my name is Michaela Gill. I have two stories for you guys. One happened when I was about 5 or 6. We were making pizza in the kitchen with my mom and my brother. The phone rings, and my mom kind of goes over and she looks at the number and she looks at us and she's like, are you guys playing a trick? And we're like, no. So she picks up the phone and she's like, hello, hello. No one answers. And then her face kind of goes to like, oh, kind of like a surprise. And we're looking at her and we're like wondering what's going on. And then she hangs up and she just kind of looks at us and she's like, that was my grandmother's old answering tone. After that, you know, the next day we're talking about it and she's like, I was thinking about Grandma Lucy when we were making the pizza, and when I answered it, that's what came up. She's like, it was a blocked number. It just, I just heard her answering tone. So we kind of laughed it off and we were kind of thinking, oh, it's just her playing a trick, because my brother used to look up at the ceiling and talk to Grandma Lucy. We just kind of thought it was his little, like, ha-ha funny joke thing. And then the second story is when I was 7, 8, I would go out in our driveway and there would be a couple of puddles. I used to say there was a man who had like a brown trench coat and a brown top hat and curly mustache. And I would say he would help me jump over the puddles. He would hold me and lift me up over them. I don't know why. I think I said, Mom, it's your dad, but I don't remember that part exactly. But yeah, no, I used to say there was a man helping me jump over the puddles. We've had a couple other experiences like that where it was just us thinking about our old relatives, and they've, like, we've had a thing where we would talk about someone, and then during the night, one of us would have a dream about them, and it was really cool. I feel like it's a way for them to, like, tell us, like, hey, we know you're thinking about us, like, we're thinking about you, too. Anyways, I love the show. I've been listening to you guys for a year now. And yeah, thanks for listening to me.
I think it's neat how they sometimes manipulate the phones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess if you could bribe somebody at the phone company to really, really look into it and see if there was some way that that was even possible, but not, I don't think in this case it's, you know, it's possible to have the actual recording of the grandmother play.
Sure.
It's just somehow that was the message sent.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know what that would look like on a phone. It might not even look like anything odd. It just might look like a no number or error mm-hmm. or something. But something happened here, but we don't know how or why.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of where it ends up lying at. But good story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. One more quick one for today. Hi.
Hi, this is Justin from Alabama. I recently stumbled across one of the episodes in which a couple of teens went down some demonic tunnel and found some decapitated chickens and messed around what with dousing rods and whatnot. And you brought up the point that how many times these backyard Satanists just go out and get a rotisserie chicken or something of that sense. And in high school, me and a couple buddies went down this old forgotten road, and there was an old house, an abandoned house, and we decided to go inside of it, and at the urge of one of my buddies who's been there before, and it's a regular house on the inside, and you step in and there's no floor, it's just dirt. There's still an old brick fireplace, you know, a kitchen and whatnot. The house had to have been made in early 1900s, something like that. But there's a little crawl space next to the fireplace, just big enough to get under, and it is a secret room. And it looks like something that a satanic band would have played in. We found speakers, a drum set, CDs all over the walls, satanic posters and whatnot. And it didn't click to me until I heard you talking about rotisserie chicken, but there was a KFC bucket glued to the ceiling. And, you know, maybe that was their practice, you know, bone and the thigh combo, and
satanic rituals. But anyway, it just made me think of it. You guys have a good day. Love the show.
I don't even want to know why there'd be a KFC bucket glued to the ceiling.
This is not the first time we've heard about someone finding remnants of a satanic ritual in KFC.
I know.
I'm not even joking.
I know.
I don't know. It was a long time ago, but there was someone who was, we had joked about that a long, long time ago. And somebody said, you know, they were a ghost hunter or something. They came across a very similar setup.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how often KFC is used when fresh living chickens are not available for said rituals. I don't know. It makes you wonder. Isn't part of it having to be a live chicken?
I think so.
Not extra tasty crispy? Isn't that like, I don't know.
I don't know. That's just weird.
Thank you for sharing your experience there with us. We do greatly appreciate that. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up to be one. Get all the bonus material. Ghostpodcast.com. Of course, it's only $5 a month. Sign up for a full year. Get that bunk bed bell. And a month out of that free. So you can do that as well. And another extra way to support the show there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.